Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody, to your Ameristar, your sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkush. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. And it is time, the 10 o'clock hour, for our Where Are They Now segment. And these have been a ton of fun, and I've been getting excited about this one ever since I found out who our guest was going to be this Sunday morning. One of the more dominant defensive linemen, I think you could argue, in the history of the NFL, in large part because one of the biggest, strongest men we've ever seen play the game. I know Olin just loved practice every day when Ted was with the Bears, and it is our great pleasure to welcome in former Chicago Bear. I want to say, let me get my numbers here right, Ted, 17-year NFL veteran. Do I have that right for Ted Washington?
Yes.
17 seasons playing in the National Football League. Imagine that. And I think probably left guys in his wake wherever he went. Ted, seven different teams I know kind of came to prominence in that stretch with Buffalo after stops in San Francisco and Denver. But here in Chicago, we were thrilled to have you here, and particularly that 0-1 defense. You and Keith Traylor, one of the more impenetrable fronts I think we've ever seen. Tell us a little bit about what the experience was like getting to Chicago and being part of that team.
Well, arriving there into a big city, one of the biggest cities, that was amazing for me. And coming to Lake Forest and meeting all those superstars on that team that year, Olin being one, Urlacher and a few other guys, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm a guy being big. I like to eat. Great eats in the city. And, man, and Olin can verify that on a couple of places around Lake Forest that they used to hang out and turn into a lot of good stuff around there. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I was excited, Ted, to get you on because I had learned so much from you through my career on how to prepare, how to practice, not only to beat guys physically. Ted taught us a lot, Pat, I think, like mentally also. And when Ted came in, Hub, we were 98, me and Pat's first year. We were 4-12. 99, we were 6-10. 2000, we were 5-11. And I remember beating the Vikings, I think it was, in 2001. We brought Ted in, and we were running around. Pat, I don't know if you remember this, like we won the Super Bowl. Mm, and Ted screamed at us, "You know, you guys got to act like you thought you were going to win this game." And, Ted, I just want to ask you, my question to you is, first, it's great to have you on and talk to you, big man, but my question to you is, what did you always see in locker rooms to teach them how to win? Because this locker room the Bears have now, they need to learn how to win and how to handle winning in the NFL.
Well, we go back to when we were there, is how we interact with each other. We played a lot of music, which every team does, and we hung out together. You guys, offense, would get together, have their dinners or nights together. Defense did the same thing. And then when we came into the locker room, it was fun. You wanted to come to work and have fun. I mean, there was no type of animosity. It was always we're together. Normally, you can't find offense and defense, speaking of linemen, to gel together. And that's what it was. It was business, but on the same time, we were boys. And then we took that to the field because we knew what to expect from both sides of the ball, and we got it done. And that I really enjoyed. And let me go back to you talking about you learned a lot from me. Man, I'm glad I got the opportunity to tell you now that I've learned a lot from you. I've been against a lot of centers, and you are one of my top three. With your quickness, your strength, and all that came from wrestling. And your leverage. And when I teach kids today, that's who the first lineman I tell to Google. You and that guy from Pittsburgh. Who was that center from Pittsburgh?
Pouncey. Marquise?
Oh, Dermoni Dawson.
Dawson, yes. Those are my top two guys. And, man, I appreciate that, Coach. The leverage, you've been a wrestler, me being a wrestler, your strength, your quickness, your finesse, man, and I help these kids out a lot. It helps them out a lot with that today.
That was impossible to block, man. This guy, Hub, was so damn good. He'd use that left arm on me, Pat, and I remember being in my dorm room at night, and I'm like, how the hell am I going to block this guy, you know? So I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to try his elbow. And he told me after, I don't remember this, Ted, 9 or 7, you're like, are you blocking my elbow? I'm like, yes, I am.
Ted, it's great to have you on, man. I'm lucky to play here in Chicago for a long time, and people ask me some of my most memorable teammates, and your name is right up there on the list, being a young player in my third year. You came in that locker room and made a big impression on me, and one was, I guess I was running scout team then, and I had to block you, and you used to say, stop touching me, stop touching me. And I'm like, man, the coach is yelling at me to come off the ball. But you always worked on your technique all throughout the week, obviously all during the preseason against Olin. But where did that come from? And, you know, obviously everybody knows your size, but what made you great was the combination of both. And where did you learn that technique from?
Well, most of it coming from wrestling. That's why I try to tell these high school kids, you know, you be playing football, football's over with, go wrestle. And that's where you learn your leverage. And like Olin himself and a couple other centers I know, you don't like to be touched. I'm a guy that's sweaty and all that, and you smelling shoulder fat. Don't touch me. So I'm going to take care of my business with my hands first and get away from you so we don't have to sit there and, you know, be engaged all day long. And just make the play, get the play over with, come with the next play. But that's how I've always been throughout college and high school and carried over into the pros.
Ted, I've always gotten the impression you were only here in Chicago a couple of years, but I remember that year after going to New England and getting that ring and interviewing you in different settings. I always got the impression that obviously you're aware of your size, but that you used it, that sometimes you were a little more quiet than most and that you knew how to use the intimidation, the stare. Was that part of your game? Was just saying, hey, yeah, I'm this big and don't mess with me.
No, I didn't use my size because I knew I can anchor good. Like I said, that what the leverage come into play. I can anchor good, and I was good with my hands. So if I get my hands on you, stop your charge, I'm going to win half the battles. And then the only way you're going to move me, you better double, triple team me. And I didn't have to trash talk because they knew by watching film, this guy's good with his hands, and he's going to anchor. You're not going to move him. So we need to find a way to get around him, so on and so forth. And then that's how it was throughout.
Hey, Ted, our segment here is Where Are They Now? And just kind of what guys are doing now and what you're up to with your family. I know we talked a little bit this week about you have 6 kids and they're grown. And we just kind of want to hear what you're doing now and how your family's doing.
Family's doing great. I'm here outside of Charlotte. And right now just monitor the properties that I have. I love fishing, love hunting. And I do those things. And then I go to a few schools, high schools, and I teach the fundamentals. I don't want to coach. I just go there and teach the fundamentals to bring that back because nowadays that's not in the league anymore. I mean, everybody just want to go upfield and no hands and no this and that. But I'm teaching these kids all the basics that got us to where we, you know, to the point we were pro bowlers or all-stars or however you want to call it. And I'm giving them the old-school techniques to make them better so they know the game.
Oh, that's awesome, Ted. Ted, you had a hell of a run. You know, you were drafted by the 49ers, went to the Broncos, the 6 years with the Bills, and unfortunately you got traded away here from the Bears and went to the Patriots, but you got to win a Super Bowl there, and everybody talks about the Patriot way. How different is the New England Patriots compared to all the other teams you played for?
New England is first class. When I say first class, they know how to treat the players, and everybody is talking about Belichick. And whatever they got to say about him, that's him. It's a no-nonsense. You can joke around whenever, but you take care of business first. And they're going to respect you. The only part I just didn't like about New England is when it comes to the contracts. They're not going to pay you a boatload of money because their motto is, we can go out and get anybody, plug them into our system. If they want to win, do what we say. And that was it. It was strictly business.
Ted, you said –
class, and they took care of their players.
Ted, you said you could joke with Bill Belichick. I know you, you had a lot of jokes in our locker room. What would you do to him?
In one of his books, the only thing – I'm not good with head coaches. And with him, and whenever we cross paths, I don't care if it's morning, noon, or night, only thing I would say to Bill is morning. And keep going.
You know, Ted, one of the stunning things about your career, 17 seasons is one thing, but you played every game in 12 of those 17 seasons. You had another one where you only missed one game. When you look at what's going on with the game now and all the changes to try and protect players and some of the injury concerns and whatever, is the game changed significantly since you hung them up in 07?
Big time. They're doing less tour days, less training camp days, and I just did an internship with the Eagles. Less hitting. I don't know if they're trying to protect those, but some of those guys need that. I mean, I hate to say it, it's going soft. Back when we were there, we used to bang, but these cats, they barely even go out in shoulder pads. And, you know, it's good to come in shape and all that stuff, but you got to hit. You know, every once in a while. And I haven't seen that. So I hate to say it. You know, they're making a lot of money, and it's a lot softer.
Hey, Ted, for the callers, the Bears have lost Akeem Hicks, who is probably to their defense what you were to every defense you played on through the years. The guy in 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, big plays when things are getting tough. The guy who was gonna shut the offense down. What have the Bears lost that they've lost Akeem Hicks now through these last 4 or 5 games?
I really can't answer that, but just by watching them, I don't know who the leader is on the defense, but everybody just have to step up, and the next guy have to step in and just do his job. And you can't – I hate to say it, but it looked like they depended on one guy to carry the load. But when we were there, everybody wanted part of it. If you follow what I'm saying, everybody wanted a part of it. And that's what's – you know, it just don't seem like, you know, everybody's into it like we had it back then. You know, if one fall, the next guy step in and you know, keep it going. So,
Ted, you played on some great teams with some great players and some great head coaches. When you sit back, relax, and look back on your career, what are some of your favorite years or head coaches or players you got to play with?
My players, Buffalo, which is Bruce Smith, the guys on that defense, and the way the philosopher Marv Levy was. The way he, you know, gave his speeches to us and motivation and all that stuff. My guys in Chicago, just that quick turnaround, and you don't really see that often, going from a losing season to one of the best teams, and we should have won the went to the Super Bowl that year. Oh my God, it hurts. Should have went to the Super Bowl because we were ready and we had it popping, but you know, there was injuries and then New England. Just the way that whole organization is ran is, like I said, I'm going to keep saying it, first class. He catered to his players, whatever they need, they got it. From the facilities to the plane, everything. And those are the type of organizations you want to play for, because and you enjoy going to work, you know, to get things done. So that's one thing. That's the main thing I missed about all of that. And I didn't see that early on in my career.
Ted, I'm curious. Actually, it occurs to me as I'm getting ready to ask this question. I don't think I've ever asked Olin or Patrick either, but Dick Duron, I always say, possibly the best person, the best man I've met in all the years I've done this, and lost track of how many coaches I've covered. Don't really know, you know, what kind of coach he was, how the players reacted, but an outstanding human being. And I'm curious, as a coach, how did he? What was playing for Duron like compared to all the other coaches you played for?
When I was there, Coach Durham, he was a good guy, but I didn't see him get mad. I don't recall him ever getting mad. I mean, he wasn't soft, but it was one of those situations where, you know, if something didn't go right, I never seen him get, like, really pissed off. Now, the only coach that was there that got pissed off was the defensive coordinator, Greg Blige. Mm-hmm. But that's what the head coach, you know. He was a good guy, but it just never – and most players like to see that, like to see the coach get pissed off and let you know that you have it. And I didn't see that. But overall, he was a great guy.
Let me ask you one more before we have to run. I know your dad played ball for the old Houston Oilers. Any of your boys going to play? Are there more Washingtons coming?
No, that's it. I mean, me and Olin talked about this the other day. I'm not going to force anything. And, you know, if they want it, they can go get it. They have the bloodline. But if it's not there, you can't force them. And, you know, one, my oldest even said, how can you live up to your name? Like, you got to make your own name. And that was a hard pill to swallow just to hear that. And so he phased out and decided to go elsewhere, school, and take a trade and, you know, make his money. And football just wasn't there. So I wouldn't force it. I'm not going to force them to, you know, follow the footsteps and, you know, choose your own line and go from there.
I got to ask you one quick follow-up because your dad was a linebacker, so obviously you're a little bigger than dad. Have the boys got the size or just
my
not?
My baby boy does. Yeah. He was bigger, faster, stronger than I was coming out of high school. So I was really like, yo, he's going to be me times two.
Oh, boy.
And no, didn't want it, so I couldn't push it.
Well, Ted, you sound great, and I really appreciate you taking time out to join us this morning. Just congratulations again 10 years later on such an incredible NFL career, and we hope everything continues to go really well for you.
Thanks, and thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Big Ted.
Thanks, Ted.
That is former Chicago Bears defensive tackle Ted Washington, 17 years in the National Football League. The roster today says 6'5", 375. I always felt that maybe there was four Bills packed there. I don't know, Olin. You could speak to it better.
Well, no, he was obviously a big man, but I think what gets underrated is that Ted really helped us change the culture.
Yes, he did.
When he came in and taught us how to be pros, taught us how to work, and taught us what it took to win. And really, really missed him. I know he was hurt all of 2002, but when they traded him in 2003, I think it was, after preseason, that really hurt the team. That hurt the locker room. This guy was an amazing leader.
Yeah, and there's certain people that when you walk in a room, you can feel them. And obviously, Ted's one you can see as well. But I think you could feel his presence as much as you could see him. And he would sit there in that corner of the D-line room, mm-hmm. and he was like a mean grandpa sitting in the corner, and he would judge everybody and make sure everybody was doing the right thing. And then he might pull you to the side and talk to you quietly, or he might call you out in front of everybody. And I think that was the first time our locker room had a presence like that, mm-hmm. that you just respected one from who he is and where he came from and what he was as a player, but just – who he was as a person, who he was as a leader.
And he would do a dance hub before every game, and you would die laughing. Oh. I think it was the Lollipop Kids dance, and he would do it before games. But one quick story about Ted. We were at the Pro Bowl after the 2001 season, and I forget where this guy was from, but the kicker, you have to sign about 5,000 balls before you leave the first meeting, and the kicker was taking too long. Next to Ted. So Ted was getting all the balls and he was flinging them across the room. And he was flinging across the room and he was screaming, sign the ball faster. And this guy was shaking, Pat, because and Ted looked at me and he was like, what's going on with this guy? Oh, and I just said, Ted, I'm not going to fight people at the Pro Bowl. You know? But he was just a great guy. The man, there should be no argument. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He's the best pure nose guard ever to play the game.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. That is this week's edition of Where Are They Now? Guys, all I remember being up, I was still calling the games at that time, but be up in the booth, and invariably, when teams wanted to run the football with Ted and Keith Traylor next to each other, the entire offensive line would collapse down on those two, you know. And yes, Brian Urlacher is a Hall of Famer, nothing but great players on that defense. But that pair of tackles, it was as dominant a run stuffing inside game as I'd ever seen.
Well, you go Keith Traylor, Ted Washington, Philip Daniels, Brian Robinson, Rosie Coleman, Warwick Holman, Brian Urlacher, Tony Parrish, Mike Brown, 12.7 points a game, Greg Blotch's unit. Is a unit that doesn't get talked about a lot, Pat. They were dominant.
No doubt. And it was interesting to hear Ted talk about the Super Bowl potential because I'm in my third year. I don't know any better. It's our first time we're ever winning. He's been in the league for a long time, played on some really good teams in Buffalo. And for him to say that, that says, all right, yeah, we should have been going a lot further than we did. And that's unfortunate we lost that playoff game.
So fast.
Well, and guys, you know, listen, we'll get back to this because we got to take a quick break. But I've said this 1,000 times. People kind of roll their eyes at me. Hugh Douglas, to me, that was one of the great cheap shots in NFL history on which he broke Jim Miller's shoulder. And Jim goes out, I think, early in the second quarter. Shane didn't play bad. Shane Matthews comes in. But I still maintain the because you guys were rolling at that point, or at least, you know, going up and down the field. And I think if Douglas doesn't, you know, take that shot, that who knows what might have happened.
And that was a deflating injury. You felt that on the sideline. When you saw it happen, Jim was a leader of the team. And when you lose a guy like that, you know, you could feel that all across the 53 of us.
I will say that we felt outmatched that year. We've talked about this before. We felt outmatched scheme-wise. And if you take a look at the Eagles' defensive staff compared to what we had on our offensive sideline, they, and if we did have Jim, that could have been a different game, but they had our number. That was a very good Eagles defense. Jim Johnson, the legendary defense coordinator, was there. Then they had Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go through the
John Harbaugh was there too.
Spagnuolo was an assistant coach. The guy down in Buffalo now, the head coach, McDermott, was on the staff. They were just – and it felt like they knew every play you were doing. And then when you looked at the coaches – when you're an analyst now and you look at their coaching staff, you're like, yeah, I think they did.
I didn't even thought about that until you started riffing on those names because John Harbaugh was there too. And, you know, he's turned out not
Dave
too
Tope.
Bad.
Dave Tope.
Yeah, that was quite a staff. Guys, it's the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show with Olin and Patrick. I'm Hub. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Got to take a quick break here. Back, we can take some calls. Actually, I think Grody may be checking in, so we're going to hold off on the calls. As soon as we've got the inactives, we'll talk to Mark Grody from Soldier Field. That is next right here at The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's had an interesting and a difficult season when it comes to that kind of stuff. Besides the just football part with us, right? He's had the injury. Well, that's frustrating as a player. Forget what position you are. That's a frustrating time as a player because you want to be out there for your teammates. And so mentally, I think considering everything that he's going through and you throw a couple injuries into it, he's done a pretty good job.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about his continued faith in his quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Got some texters here looking for the video of the Hugh Douglas, Jim Miller injury. It was the divisional playoff game in 2001, so it would have been January of 2002. It was at Soldier Field. It was actually the last game played at Soldier Field before the rehab of the stadium, and it was wild, guys, because we're sitting up there doing the post game. You guys are probably miserable in the locker room. You know, your season just ended, and about an hour into the post game, there was literally tractors pulling onto Soldier Field and starting to tear things down. And so you talk about the end of a season. They tore the damn building down after you got beaten that one.
That 2002 year was not fun traveling for all those games, Olin.
No, and we had all those injuries.
Done, but yeah, that was tough.
And that was, like Ted is saying, that was a tough loss, right? We earned a bye, and we had the Eagles here at Soldier Field, and we did think that was a very good team, and we could run the ball, and Jim Miller was playing good, you know, playing good at quarterback and making good decisions, and it was a – and you go through that those names, Pat, on that defense, that was a really, really good defensive football team, which we played almost the time here anyway. We were always on defensive football teams, but like with the Bears defense this year – but we played complementary football, right? We ran the ball. We played good special teams and won a lot of games and had some luck with Mike Brown's interceptions.
Yeah. And did we trade Tony Parrish away the next year or not re-sign him?
I think they signed him as a free agent. The 49ers.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. We let him go. Yeah. And he went on to have, I think, have six interceptions that next year for the 49ers.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, you talk about going worst to first and what happens. And I talked last week, I think, about the 05 and 06 team is the only team that's ever gone from worst in 04 to first in 05 to the Super Bowl in 06. These worst to first teams normally don't even get back to the playoffs. Of the 25, not including Houston and the Bears from last year because we don't know what they're going to do yet, the 25 prior to that going back to 01, only seven have gotten back to the playoffs. Only three have won a playoff game. So you guys are bad in 2000, last, whatever you want to call it. And then you go 13-3, number one seed in the NFC in 01, and then 02 go back to, I want to say it was 4-12. But that whole season, not only did we travel to Champaign for every home game, quote home game, I don't remember seeing an injury list like that one. And more than either of those things, Jerry Angelo gets the GM job in late June of 01. So your team is put together. You know, Jaron's been there a few years. You guys are getting ready. And Angelo and Jerry did some good things, but I mean, from the time he got there with that group, he wanted Dick Geron gone. He wanted certain players gone. I mean, he got rid of Traylor in Washington so fast it was crazy. And I'm thinking, what the hell are you doing? You know, he wanted to play the Tampa too. He wanted to play a different style.
Yeah, and things change if you just look at how that relates to the Bears now, Pat. Things change every year. No year is the same, and these injuries, Akeem Hicks, Kyle Long. When everyone talked about the big jump the offensive line was going to make this year, that was with the assumption that Kyle Long didn't have any offseason surgeries finally. He was going to be 100%, and you penciled in a Pro Bowl right guard for the Chicago Bears, a guy, Pat, when healthy, one of the best run blockers in the NFL. So that year, you could go through a million stories of suspensions, of injuries, of all those things, and there's always a reason where a team – doesn't get back to where they were, and usually it's injuries.
Yeah, and you look at the loss of Kyle Long, and I think it's really weighing on this offense now that you're right. If you had a healthy Kyle Long, when you would turn on his tape, he would maul people. And then the double teams with him and Massey were unstoppable. Mm-hmm. You can see the holes now in the run game, in the pass game, when they run games and things like that. But, you know, it's unfortunate that Kyle wasn't healthy this year, but you were expecting him to be a healthy Pro Bowl lineman that he has been. And that, looking back on it, is just as big as loss of, well, you know, it's, I guess it's probably more because the offense is struggling and the defense is still holding teams to 17 points a game without Akeem Hicks, without Danny Trevathan.
Well, here's the other question I have for you guys. Looking at Kyle, though, is, as you mentioned, an absolutely dominant run blocker, an excellent athlete for the position. But in those first couple of years going to Pro Bowls, to me, this is a guy who was designed more to play a power game than this zone read stuff. Now, he's athletic enough that he should be able to adjust on his feet, but it never really flourished in this system, even when he was on the field. And it almost felt like, because here's a guy, you've got one of the best guards in football, and you're not doing what he does best.
Yeah, and one thing I think that we should also talk about is you can be physical out of this zone read zone power offense, right? Because really it's the same scheme. It's just you're leaving one guy unblocked because you're reading them, right, Hub? So you can run these power plays, these double teams. You can run zone power. They ran it last year. You can run zone read. You can read the linebacker. You still got power. You still got double teams. You still got inside zone. right now, there are times an offensive line is not getting movement. But right now, if we're going to keep on this zone read, this RPO, then we need to see Mitch keep it sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's got to keep it. There's guys that are unblocked. Look, when you're in three wide receiver sets all the time, that means they can outnumber you in there. They can put more guys than you have. Last week, on the first couple of run plays, Pat, we were talking about earlier, for whatever reason, the scheme leaves Aaron Donald one-on-one three times in a row while they're blocking him. And the two guys who make the play on the first plays are Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews, who's unblocked. And I thought that Mitch should, in the first five or six run plays, he should have kept it once or twice and or through the RPO once or twice. And it goes just back to the fact that right now Mitch is not making really, really good decisions at the quarterback position.
And I would like to know what he's told, because there is a lot of times that he should have kept the ball, in my opinion. You know, you're going to get at least 3 yards. Take the 3 yards.
Yeah.
Get on the ground, take the 3 yards, get on the ground. Is he being told just to hand it off? I don't know what's going on, but you're right. Spread him out. Outnumber him. Help the number situation later in the game by keeping the ball. But I don't know why he hasn't kept the ball. He did last year.
But if he's being told to hand it off, then they have to change the blocking
scheme. Yes, exactly. That's what
I'm
saying.
And they have to block it like a normal run play. You can't have him reading the defensive end then, right? Mm-hmm.
Guys, we have Mr. Grody ready to go over at Soldier Field. Mark Grody, of course, our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score, and also the sideline reporter, part of the live broadcast of all Bears games at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. And you know, Mark, a sideline guy's got to stick together. You got lucky today, man. It looks like it's going to push 50 and sunny out there. Probably a nice day for football, huh?
Yeah, doesn't quite feel like 50 yet out here, but there is bright sunshine, clear skies, and I always just go to my mom for the weather forecast, and she just always says wear the big coat. So I am ultra prepared, thanks to Gene Grody.
Apparently, nothing shocking. Well, not shocking. Nothing even surprising on the inactive list. Kind of the guys we expect.
Well, yeah, definitely the guys we would expect. And for people who don't know, Duke Shelley, Danny Trevathan, Alex Bars, Abdullah Anderson, Bradley Sowell, Adam Shaheen, Riley Ridley. You know, I would say that it's interesting, you know, the Bradley Sowell makes an appearance last week, and it's just something that has just not worked out this year. I mean, they make the guy lose the weight that he had on being an offensive lineman, try to turn him into a tight end, and it hasn't worked. And then the other guy, gentlemen, that I'm a little bit surprised we're not seeing, and maybe this comes if the Bears become mathematically eliminated, but to not see Riley Ridley in uniform, the Georgia receiver and rookie, just to see what possibly he can bring. And I don't know if that goes back to the fact that he was in here in Bourbonnais, so he didn't get a full scope of the rudimentary, the basics of the offense. I'm not sure. I would have liked to have seen him at some point in time. So, yeah, no shock, but I think a couple things are semi-notable on there.
You know, one thing notable to me this week, too, about the receiving corps was Anthony Miller and being called out a little bit by the head coach. I think anytime you hear your name used in a post-game press conference or a press conference during the week, something's going on there. Is he on thin ice a little bit right now? Is he being put on notice by Matt Nagy?
Feels like it. You know, Patrick, they've never been afraid to call him out. Even at times last year when he had the misconduct penalty, I think he was ejected, actually, and they were not afraid to say, and you know, probably because he was a rookie, that you can't have that. You can't do that. And it just seems like there's been hints, I feel like since Bourbonnais, that they want him to know the full scope of the playbook. They don't want him improvising or being crafty, but they want him to be where he is supposed to be and know everything inside out about this offense. So there's been little hints dropped, you know, like I said, really since Bourbonnais, about him getting things right and becoming more mature in terms of being in the right place and being a professional, because, you know, the raw talent is there. And the big thing on him when he came out of college was that, ironically, that this is a terrific route runner. And he still may be a good route runner, but he's not ending up in the right place in a lot of times. So I think they're putting a lot of heat on him. I think that they put a lot of heat on him in practice. And another thing back in Bourbonnais too, I remember every chance that Kyle Fuller got, he would get on Anthony Miller. Like he would go on him one-on-one. And I always thought that was sort of pushing him, because I think they all know that there's a ton of talent in this kid. I mean, they moved up in the second round to get him, and they're just not getting out of him what they would expect.
Hey, Grody, it seems like the offense is struggling with, at every position, with communication and mistakes. And my question for you is, how are they going to get that offense going today? What are they talking about up there to get the ball in the end zone, especially early in the first half? And two, since you're there every day, do you see players on the offensive side of the ball staying after practice and working on things that they need to work on, like Mitch Trubisky throwing a few extra routes to Miller?
We are not privy to that. In terms of the extra practice, because they give us just a very limited look at what's going on. So I don't know if they've been putting in extra time. I mean, I know that Trubisky, from what I've been told, is famous for, you know, being at the facility almost too much and being told he has to go home. So I would assume that he would be there. And I hope, Olin, that Anthony Miller is working on that connection at times. As far as like the offense and what it needs to do today to succeed, I think that, you know, last week, despite all the chaos that existed in the second half of that game and everything that went down at the end, I thought they started off well offensively. And it came down to, obviously, you had the missed field goal. I think it was the first drive. And the second drive, you don't connect on the fourth and one because they didn't trust the kicker, and then the kicker misses yet another field goal. So they had things going in the right direction. Obviously, they weren't punching the ball in the end zone. So I think that there's going to be a real emphasis on that, because we've seen these games where the offense shows you that they can get into the red zone but not into the end zone. So I want to see what Matt Nagy has as far as play calling is concerned once they get into the red zone. And actually putting the ball in there for 6 points, because, I mean, that's been one of the big problems this year and something that Nagy has said all along. He doesn't care about 3 points. He wants to put 6 points up. Yeah, I think it'd be nice to see them get David Montgomery going again today. And the thing about Trubisky, too, and you guys know this, and I bet you've talked about it, the Giants are going to bring everything against Trubisky. I mean, this is a vulnerable quarterback. I mean, both sides of his body have now been injured. We know the kind of season he's had, and we know the game plan that teams put forth, and the Giants are a team that is capable of bringing pressure from a lot of different angles. So I hope that obviously the offensive line is ready for that, and that David Montgomery can have a big game as well.
Mark, we had a long visit with Eddie Pinheiro on Friday. A lot of talk about the extra time down at Soldier Field practicing this week. Anything in the conditions we should be aware of? Windy out there, turf look good, all look like it should be a pretty good day?
Turf feels really good, actually. I walked down it a couple hours ago, and it feels great. As I'm standing here right now, Hub, if there's a light wind to the south end zone, and that's where Pinheiro was just doing work. As a matter of fact, now he is about to kick from the 30-yard line. It is up, and it is good. So,
come on. You sounded surprised.
There you go.
You sounded surprised, Mark. That's it. Game over. Yes.
All righty, Mark. We do appreciate it, buddy. You have a great call out there.
A little
course.
Bit more challenging today. But the North, we just look good.
All right, man. Thank you so much. You can hear Mark during the broadcast, of course, at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780. Go to 105.9 on your FM dial. If you do that, though, as soon as you hear the final gun, you want to get right back here to the score. It'll be James Big Cat Williams, Patrick Manley, and myself with your post game. Have you guys got post today, Olin? I'm not even sure.
Yes, we should
know that. Yes. So we're going to take you right up to the Sunday night game, and it is a good one tonight, by the way, guys. The Green Bay Packers at San Francisco, 670 the score. Score, the only place you should be on your radio all day long here. We're going to take a very quick break. When we return, we can take a call or two if you'd like at 312-644-6767 and get down a little more into some of these matchups and what's going on with the Giants and their rookie quarterback as well. It's all just ahead right here on The Score.
It's time for us to go out there and execute. You know, young quarterback, got to stop the run. You know, they got a great running back, so we just got to come in and stop the run and, you know, let the quarterback, you know, make his mistakes and handle the ball in the back end.
Eddie Jackson talking earlier this week on The Score about the Bears' ongoing struggles to get it all sorted out. We're going to have to take another real quick break in just a minute or two. I got us behind schedule here. But before we do, guys, we were talking before, and we've had some texters now. Riley Ridley, you draft him in the fourth round. You know, why can't he get on the football field? This is one of those deals where there are a couple sides to the story. Number one, go back to the draft and remember how surprised we all were that the Bears used a fourth-round pick on Riley Ridley, because the narrative going into the draft was with Allen Robinson, with Anthony Miller, with Taylor Gabriel, with Javon Wims. They had signed Marvin Hall as a free agent. It supposedly was going to be a strength of the football team. Now, you can debate whether that's worked out or not, but I asked Mike Furry last week, 10 days ago, whenever it was, why has Ridley struggled to get on the football? And Mike took exception. He said, what do you mean struggled? He's not struggling. And I said, let me rephrase the question. Why isn't he playing on Sunday? And his answer was, you know, if you think about it, well, which receiver do you want to sit down? I mean, we still want to see more of Javon Wims. You're not going to sit Robinson, Gabriel, or Miller. And so as much as, yeah, we'd like to see something from Riley Ridley, you got a traffic jam at the position.
But is he the answer to the offense?
No.
No. So, yeah, we'd all like to see him. But I think it's a numbers game on Sunday. Yeah. Yes, we'd like to. Hopefully by the end of the year he gets some reps somehow. But I just think it's a numbers game on Sunday. And they drafted, they said, the best player available when he was on the board. And he is where he is. But I don't think he's the answer right now. I think there's too many other problems on this offense to really think that that one player can make a difference.
Well, and here's where the business side of this gets so difficult. And this is where we kind of started the show wondering – how are they going to approach these last 6 weeks? What are you going to do? Taylor Gabriel's been fine. I think he's been what you expected, okay? But he's also going to cost you about $6, $7 million against the cap next year. So do you need to look at a Riley Ridley, regardless of what it, you know, how it impacts winning or losing in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks to decide if that's a place we can take that $6 million and spend it elsewhere? Because you're going to have to sign, you know, you're going to have to find, I think you got to find people to at least compete at left tackle. You clearly need tight ends. You know, you're going to get somebody to compete at quarterback. You got to make decisions at safety and inside linebacker. They're not in cap trouble, but you want to create as much flexibility as possible. So this is where we ask these questions about what are you going to do the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, and as far as Riley Ridley goes, Pat speak to him more than me, but he probably just doesn't play special teams. That's why you say it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
Right? He probably doesn't do a lot of special teams. He probably plays Miller's position on offense, so they don't want to take the reps away from Miller. And I don't think you use him. He's not a – from what I saw in the preseason, he's not a Gabriel threat. He's not a speed guy.
No.
He's not going to beat you deep.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a different kind of guy. And they need – even though they're not getting a ton out of him, Taylor Gabriel and Miller, they need that speed on the field. They need them. They need Tariq Cohen on the field. They need as many guys as they can get on that field who scare people deep. And they don't have that right now. If you go through the offensive side of the ball, like Hub just mentioned, you could probably mention every position that they're going to bring in guys to compete. They're going to bring in offensive linemen. They're going to bring in tight ends. They're going to bring in receivers. Well, when you're – one of the worst offenses in the league. But the question then is, what are you going to do with the coaching staff?
Yeah, that's the question. I want to go back real quick to Anthony Miller and special teams. You know, he plays with all that passion on offense, and he plays that way on special teams. He has just enough of that idiot in him, and I call it in a good way for special teams, that he goes down and makes some plays and is willing to put his head in there. So that is one reason why he's still out there.
All right, guys, let's get to a quick break here. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 312-644-6767 and start to drill down on what to expect today from Bears-Giants. That's next on the Sportsbook Ameristar pregame show right here at 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.